This morning is a little bit different of a Sunday. It's called Connection Sunday. And you might be wondering, what on earth is Connection Sunday? Well, I'm going to share with you what it's about, all right? It is a day, it's a Sunday, where we get to emphasize the beauty and the way of community at Parkside. So you can see what we're called to and how we're going to get there, and you can be introduced and invited into different ways for you to dive deeper into community here in our church family. In preparing for today, I was thinking through some of the regular comments that I receive, usually on Sunday mornings, but sometimes throughout the week as well. They don't always phrase it like how I'm going to say, but they're recurring enough that I'm kind of used to them by now, and most of them are really nice, actually. One frequent comment that I hear is this. People come up to me or to someone else, and they say, "I'm so glad that I found this church. My life, Monday through Saturday, is filled with chaotic, faithless people. And Sunday morning, when I gather together, when I come here to be here, it's like an oasis for me spiritually and relationally with God and with other people." Other people, I get this comment quite a bit as well. They say this, "I haven't been a part of a church for so long, and I forgot, I didn't realize how much I missed it." We have Parksiders, new and old, reconnecting this fall here at church, and that's been an ongoing comment. "I forgot how much I needed this. I forgot how good it is to gather together." Another recurring comment is this, "Everybody here is just so friendly and so welcoming." But another recurring comment that I hear as well is also this, "I've been here for a while," insert X number of days, weeks, months, years sometimes, and I hear the comment, "I've never clicked with anyone here." I watch other people as well. As soon as they're feeling better, they come here, they enjoy community and fellowshipping and the ministry of the church, they get filled up here, so to speak, and then they leave, only to come back sometimes weeks or months or years, even decades later, and they are empty and broken again, and they need to be filled back up. And I kind of scratch my head sometimes and go, just stick around and you can be filled all the time. Other times, we're hurt here at church. We're hurt in this community. Sometimes I say something from the pulpit or in passing or through email or whatever, and it offends you, it hurts you. Or maybe another Parksider in passing or in a small group or whatever says something that is offensive, that is hurtful. Sometimes it gets even worse. Sometimes people will betray your confidence, maybe steal your idea. Or maybe they won't like your idea. You'll come all excited, all vulnerable to share this dream that God's put on your heart or an idea of how to improve something, and somebody just squashes it. That happens here as well. Or maybe somebody talks negatively about you behind your back. And I watch some of us responding to the hurts. I watch some of us kind of in our hurt state kind of shrink back. One common way is we build a wall, usually around our family. We build a wall around our family. We can't trust anyone but my family, and we make a church of our family. And then come the day where one of our family members hurts us, we build another wall inside that other wall. And we build a wall around just ourselves, and we have a church of one, because the only person that we can trust is ourselves. And then I find it on another hand, other Parksiders in community, we give and we give and we give, and we get nothing in return. Somebody else gets honored or praised or all the accolades, or somebody else seems to click better for them. And in that process, the motive of our heart is exposed. And we realize that we were just giving to get something back. And it leads to a place of bitterness or anger or envy, sometimes resentment, definitely hurt. And almost always hard-heartedness before God or to God and to one another. Many of us, in preparation as for this focus on community here this morning, my thoughts, I'm growing more and more aware of another increasing reality in our culture, but in church as well, as many of us are also addicted to the porn of community. Do you know what that is? Social media, Instagram, and Facebook. Now, please hear me. Social media can be used for good, okay? I'm not against social media. But it also can become like porn. We want others to be vulnerable and donate themselves to us, but we don't have to be vulnerable or donate ourselves back to them. It's a one-way street, or at the very least, it's a curated version of vulnerability where we don't get to see all of the best and all of the worst of that other person. It's not real. It makes promises that it can't deliver on. It leaves us actually relationally anemic because it doesn't nourish us in the way that true community is meant to nourish us as a human. And one of the things that, well, I was just thinking actually in between the services related to this idea, I was thinking, you know, at the end of the service, I'm going to present 14 ways that each one of us can participate in building community at the church here. And I think a lot of us, the number one reason that we'll say no to those opportunities is because of time. I don't have time for that. And yet you look at social media, I don't know, I would guess maybe an hour a day the average person spends on social media. It's probably higher than that. You add that up, all of a sudden now that's 7 hours in your week that you tried to fill the void of community in your life with a false version of it. And you wonder why you're empty or depleted or don't really have people that know you or you can connect with. Just another thought. You see, the beauty of community and the way of community is worth it, but it's not easy. And community, pursuing community, is not easy because we're not easy. No person is perfect. You're not going to click with every person every moment of the day. Those of you who are married know that very well. No person is perfect, and yet we sometimes, often, almost all the time, expect other people to be perfect, especially Christians. That if I'm going to join this small group, then my expectation for you is that you treat me just as though Christ treats me, and anything less, and I am out of here. Not really realistic. And so some of us give up on community and give up on the pursuit of community, and yet community is what we were made for. Community is what we long for, it's what we hope for. And it's where we become fully alive. The most full version of who you are as a human being, as a man or a woman, is going to be expressed and experienced in the fullness of true community. It's how we are made. And it's why social media is so popular. It's a fast food version of the real thing. And in a busy world with mismanaged priorities, we just get it and shove it in our face as fast as we can to somehow stem that hunger that is deep down within us. And so it's worth the fight, though, true community. To give up on community is to give up on God and being human. At the end of the day, that's what it is, to give up on it. And like everything that is good and healthy and right in this world, we as humans in our sinful condition and our flesh, we always want the riches or the benefits of things, of the good things, the right things, the healthy things of life, without the work of it. You know, somebody that wants to be buff, you know, have a six-pack, the abs kind. Someone that wants a six-pack, we often want a six-pack without the work of working out or eating right. Or we want a healthy marriage without having to die to self. Or we want to have joy every day of our life while at the same time holding on to hurt or bitterness. Or we want inner peace without having to humble ourselves before the grace of God. Or sometimes we see the bonds that other people share, and we want that, but at the same time we don't want to let go of the things that are holding us back from sharing and developing bonds with others. We want people to visit us when we're sick and to care for us and care about us. But how many people do we visit when they're sick? How many people do we care for? We want people to give us money when we're struggling. But have we ever acted like a responsible member of the community and taken responsibility for ourselves? We want the benefits of community without the work of community. We want the riches and beauty of church without the work of church. To think like that, to want community without the work of community, is incredibly selfish. And it's actually the polar opposite of who we were made to be and what Jesus modeled for us. But I'm going to put another thing on top of that, because I think all of us can understand that. To just kind of expect community to be a blessing without you contributing, I think all of us could agree that's not a healthy way. In fact, that's probably an evil way to engage community. But Jesus actually takes it up another step, the pursuit of community another way. Jesus actually says this. He says that to put the work of community in and then expect the community to give back an equal or greater proportion to the investment or the expense that you incurred to develop community, to expect that back as a return on your investment, is also not the way of Jesus. At best, that is a business deal. It's the I scratch your back, now you are obligated to scratch mine. Jesus said that even sinners do community like that. So what's Christian community all about? Well, it is to love others, to seek their welfare, to bear your soul and expect nothing in return. They might hate you, spit on you, steal from you, and yet they can't steal your love for them or rob you of your joy in life because you simply love them, no strings attached. You just love them because it's in you to love them. Now, you might be asking, who on earth can do that? Who can really love like that? Who can pursue community like that? You might even be saying this morning, I didn't know that was what was expected of me as a Christian. I didn't know that's what entails building community here at this church. I'm going to go to a church down the road where it's a little bit easier. Who can do that? That's hard. Well, it is. Very hard. It's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. But there is a power to be able to do that, a love to be able to do that. And the power and the love to do community like that cannot be found in this world. It cannot be found, like the great religion of our day preaches, within you. It must come from heaven. And guess what? It has come from heaven in the person of Jesus. In the person of Jesus, we have both the example, the way, the instructions, and the methods or the approach to how we are to pursue community, but we also have the provision of love to pursue community, just like he did for us. We receive his love, we receive the example of how he pursued community with us. And now we are informed and transformed and inspired and have a new source of strength to go out and to pursue community with others in the same way, with the same resources that he had and he gives to us. Luke 6, 32 and 35 say this, in case you don't believe me about this Jesus version of pursuing community. He said this to his disciples, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back." Cool. The first disciples, upon hearing that and other teachings of Jesus that were very hard, they actually said quite often to Jesus, "Hey, Master, this is a hard teaching. Like, how on earth is anybody able to actually do this? This is impossible." In one part, Jesus says, "You know, how often are you supposed to forgive, you know, your neighbor or whatever, or your spouse or whoever?" And he says 7 times 70, meaning you never stop forgiving them. And they, why would anybody do that? Or he says, you know, Jesus, when is it okay to divorce your spouse? And he goes through the teachings of marriage. And the disciples go, whoa, if that's the kind of commitment that marriage requires, they say, why would anybody get married? It's a hard teaching. It's a hard way. But what I love about the disciples in particular is that they had the same doubts and the same insecurities and the same questions and the same lack that we have today. And yet, look at them. Look at what became of them. As they trusted in Jesus, they were not perfect. They did not start out perfect. But in relationship with Jesus, over time, day in, day out, we read in Scripture how the love of Jesus and their community with Jesus transformed them to the point that they were able to love others in the same way that Jesus loved them. They were able to start and build communities of that kind of love because of spending time and learning in community with Jesus. You fast forward a couple hundred years from the disciples, and you see that through their love spreading, through the presence of Jesus moving in great power and great love, through his people, his renewed people, people brought into community with him, you saw community after community, church after church, changing the entire Roman Empire. It flipped it on its head. So the golden question here is, how did Jesus pursue community? How does Jesus pursue community? Because we are instructed as his followers to pursue community in the same way that he pursued community with us. The first that we read in Scripture is this, that out of love, out of his love for the Father and his love for us, he left the comforts of heaven. How did Jesus pursue community? He left the comforts of heaven, the community that he had with the Father, to go and build and extend a way of peace, a way of salvation into community with him. There are two parts to this that are critical. The first is that he knew that his Father loved him so much that it freed him from needing to be loved by anyone else. If he only had the love of the Father, it would be enough. He didn't need human love to make up some sort of insufficiency or lack within himself. What he had with his Father was enough. We sang that song, I want more of you, more of you. I think we're recognizing in that song that if we have enough of him, then we have enough. And we don't have to go to any other person or any place to complete me, to satisfy me, to make me feel good about myself, to help me with the load that I am to shoulder. Jesus not only taught, but also lived the very reality that he is enough. And when the love that we have received and walk in with him is enough, it frees us up to do community differently. We can scratch other people's back without any expectation of them having to scratch ours in return. We do community differently. But that same love of the Father is also that is in Jesus as well, is a different kind of love than our world. In fact, Scripture says that God is love. True love is what comes from God. And love in itself cannot just sit idly by when someone that they love is struggling. And so Jesus, out of love, not out of some insecure need for us to praise him or he was lonely, but out of his love that looked upon us, his kids, broken, helpless, harassed, going lost and chaotic in this world, he saw us, and out of love for us, he moved, he acted. He stepped into our world and he made a way for us to enter community, to build, have friendship with him. That's how Jesus pursued community. The second thing he did is he called us to follow him, meaning that he took the initiative and risked being rejected. The way that Christians are to pursue community is we're not to weigh, you know, the pros and cons and the risks of whether or not this person is going to be worth my time or whether or not they have the goods within themselves to make it worth my time. That's not how Christians pursue other people. Christians also don't pursue other people and think like, well, it's not. I don't know if they'll like me. They might say no. So I'm not gonna pursue community with this person or this group of people because they might say no. That's not how Christians engage community. It's not how Jesus engaged community. He went all in, even if we still said no. He considered us worthy to go all in for us. He took the initiative and risked being rejected. And so we're instructed and inspired by Jesus to go on to do the same. Christians are the ones who are to initiate and pursue community with others. You're a student in a classroom. What are you to do? You're a Christian. Pursue community. Introduce yourself. You're new in a neighborhood. You're new at a school as a parent picking up or dropping your kids after school. And I watch it all the time. The parents just kind of awkwardly all stand around fumbling on their phones, each of them desperate for community. Who's going to initiate the conversation? Who's going to break the ice? Who's going to put themselves in an awkward spot and risk being rejected? It's the Christians that do that. Why? Because that's how Jesus pursued community with us. And it's out of his love that we have received and have and are secure enough in him that we then go and do the same and risk being rejected with our peers or with those older or younger than us. Not recently, but in past years, recruiting people to teach Sunday school or recruiting people to teach or help out at youth ministry, one of the number one reasons that people didn't volunteer for children's ministry or didn't volunteer for youth ministry is because they thought they wouldn't click with the kids. They'd get rejected by the kids, or they wouldn't click with the youth, and the youth would reject them. And I would always say to them, I'm like, they're the most forgiving bunch ever. Just be real. Don't come in like the hat crooked on sideways, like, yo, man, what's up? I kind of fake like you're a youth. Don't do that. Just be true to who God made you to be. Be real, be honest, be caring and kind. And over time, maybe they'll put on a cold shoulder at first, but over time, you'll warm them up. And down the road, they'll look at you like you are an amazing man or woman of God. But with time and with honesty and love. Christians, that's what we do. Because that's what Jesus did to pursue community. We are the ones who initiate and risk being rejected. We cross the street and we knock on our neighbor's door. We start the conversation. We extend a hand of greeting or of peace. We pick up the phone and call someone when we think of them. We send a text, or we are the ones to initiate the friend request or the follow on social media. That's what we do because Jesus did that for us. And he was able to do that because he was confident enough, secure enough, in his love that he had with his Father in heaven. He was secure enough to weather the rejection. And he was strong enough, full enough, to be able to step out and lose himself in order to gain a friend. The third thing Jesus did to pursue community is he laid down his life for us. Jesus was willing to do whatever he could to make a friend and build community. Community to Jesus, friendship to Jesus, was more important than his comfort. His love for us was stronger than the cost or the weight of the work on the road to unity, to friendship. Jesus was also really smart, because sinful people are skeptical of the motives of others for community. Whenever anyone does anything nice for us, we automatically begin to think, what's the catch? Or now I'm going to have to pay them back in the same or similar way that they paid me back. No, nobody just loves unconditionally. Nobody just loves with no strings attached. And so for many reasons, but this reason included, Jesus laid down his life. He did what no person would do unless they truly didn't have strings attached to it. Sincere and honest and loving and kind motives attached to it. Jesus let the people that he came to build community with nail him to the cross. He did what was needed to thaw our frozen hearts. We read in Scripture in a number of places that it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. It was like, oh, he can actually be trusted because he actually went all in for me, even though there was no obligation for me to say yes or no to his invitation to an eternal relationship with him. He would have done that even if I said no, because I was worth that. How incredible is that? How life-changing is that? How community-building is that? He laid down his life for us. And now we as Christians, inspired and transformed and informed by his love and his way of pursuing community with us, we are now called to go and to do the same. Whatever it takes to warm up that person's heart. For the product of it, or the fruit of it, is that it gave birth to an eternal relationship with him. Eternal community. Jesus isn't just into relationships for the short term or just whatever is convenient or whatever he feels like in the moment. He's invested in the long term, in the eternal picture in mind. He didn't just want to win a friend for a season. His goal was an eternal relationship, an eternal community, what we were made for and what we long for. Sometimes I think we just build friendships when it's convenient or comfortable, or we can benefit from it. And in the second that that stops happening, we kind of just, sorry, I'm not feeling it as much anymore. Or some of us, maybe we pursue really good, honest, sincere friendships with selfless motives, and yet it's detached from the eternal dynamic. Are we winning a friend not just for this life, but the life to come? And how might that change the way I relate and connect and pursue friendship and community with others, recognizing that I'm not just in it to have a friend for the next 60 years or 10 years of my life. I'm in it to win a friend into this greater community for all of eternity. You see, it's in community with him that we find the love and example. That is the power and the way to pursue and build true community with those around us. And there are many ways to move beyond Sundays into deeper community at Parkside, because attending here on Sunday morning is not even close to all that there is to what it means to live in community, to pursue community, to build community, and to be the church. We check off some of the boxes and have some of the experiences and some of the practices that is involved in what it means to be a Christian and a member of a church, a pursuer of a deeper community. But Sunday mornings don't accomplish all of it. There are many other ways and many other spaces that we have created, that we are creating, that we have yet to create, for you to practice inviting others into community, for you to risk being rejected, for you to lay down your life even when others do reject you, and for you to find in Jesus and in others deeper community throughout it all. And so I want to spend our remaining minutes here together going through some of those spaces, some of those opportunities, some of those specific ways in the Parkside family that you can pursue deeper community. The very thing that you were made for, and the very thing by which our world will know that God lives in us. We'll begin with the hardest, more advanced ways to build community, and then we'll move to the easier, okay? Start with the bad news, move on to the good news, all right? The first, the most more advanced or difficult way for you to pursue community in and through Parkside is for you to step out and to step up and to lead something, either something that's existing or something that's new that God's put on your heart. Leading, by the way, is a crash course in becoming like Jesus, because you'll stick your neck out and get very little in return, and you will begin to identify with Jesus in a whole new way that you never have before. It's an experience. It's a space where you'll actually grow in community with God, because you'll be at your wit's end, or you'll be frustrated, or you'll feel taken advantage of, or you'll feel attacked, and all of a sudden you begin to say, hey, Jesus, you went through all of those same things for me. and the light goes on. And you're like, wait a minute, if you did that for me, who am I to, one, complain about it, but two, not do that for somebody else, because it's that worth it and it's that good. And while you might not get rewarded very much in the here and now, the eternal rewards are literally out of this world. They're in the world to come, okay? We also have lots of areas for people to step into, kind of an entry-level aspect of leadership here at our church is what we call coordinators. And there's lots of opportunities to coordinate different things. We have somebody that coordinates our breakfast. We have somebody that coordinates sound. We have a need of lots of other coordinators in lots of different areas. And basically what a coordinator does is they stick their neck out to invite other people to join with them in a specific project or goal that helps meet the ministry and the call of our church. And they lead them. They create a space and a way for them to serve and to step out and to grow in that way by participating, which also actually brings us to the second way. This is kind of the moderate or the intermediate way of pursuing community here at Parkside. And it is for you, and this might basically, it's to serve somewhere, to get on a team somewhere. If leading is too much for your current experience or it's not your calling, not everybody is called to be a leader, I understand that. You can consider serving somewhere, to be a part of a team, to be willing to actually commit to a schedule and a task that other people will start to be relying on you. And I know in this day and age, we're committed in so many different ways, like, oh, I don't want another thing on my calendar. And there's a weight to it, because you don't want to let other people down, and you want to be faithful to what you said and all those good things. It's a way for us to pursue and build community here as a church, is to serve somewhere. Sign up to serve in children's ministry. Sunday service, there's lots of different positions, breakfast, ushers, all those good things. You can sign up to serve outside of Sundays, youth ministry or preteen or outside of our four walls. We need a few more people because they're expanding the ministry at Hope Central, feeding our city's hungriest. There's opportunities to serve with Calvin at Mission Youth House. I mean, you start serving somewhere, start building community, start making spaces for other people to meet Jesus and to meet his people and to enter into community. And finally, still a significant step or jump for a lot of people, because a lot of us are a little bit awkward socially or are busy in our calendars. The third way that you can pursue community this fall here at Parkside is to participate in a small group. To actually sign up for a semester, to be a participant, a member of a community that is by nature of it being smaller, already going to be deeper and more intimate, just because of the realities of a smaller number. You can't hide as much on a Sunday morning. You have to either talk or be seen, or at least people are reading your body language, bare minimum. Participate in a small group. It will help you build relationships and deeper community. You have something to offer the group, whether you feel like it or not, you do. And the group has something to offer you, whether or not you feel like they do. It's a great starting place to being known and to knowing others. It's a way to begin the work of community and to begin to see the fruit of community. You see, a lot of times I find with people that I don't have time for that, I don't have time for that. They don't put the work of community in, and then when they need community, they're like, oh, why isn't anybody around? It comes time to move that piano. Or something more serious, when it comes time to, you know, figure out what to do with your kids because you've got to go to chemo. Or when it becomes another thing, a death in the family, or your house burns down, or whatever, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I can no longer just be a proud, isolated individual. I actually need other people. Sow those seeds of community now, and you'll begin to reap the fruit of that community in those moments when you really, really, really need community. It's worth that investment. So many of us, we worry, and we strive, and we work to save for retirement. You know, adding to our RSPs or pension funds or whatever we have. And so we can set those kinds of things up. Would not same wisdom say, hey, I should be sowing seeds of community now, helping other people share their loads now, knowing that even if they're not even a Christian, they're going to feel obligated to help me later down the line. Just, to me, that's just practical wisdom. It's a wise way to live. And hopefully along the ways where Christ in us starts changing our motives from, okay, I'm doing this so that I can get something out of it, to just, I'm doing this because it's worth it and it's beautiful. And I get to experience Christ in this moment. I get to grow in his love for me, and I get to share his love with others through me loving in that same way. Hopefully that's our ultimate motive to it. Joining a small group or participating in a deeper community, a ministry community, whatever, requires a lot of sacrifice. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy to make time in the schedule. Most of the time, most of us are so busy that something else needs to be slayed in order for us to make time in our calendars to pursue community. It's not an easy commitment to make, even if it is just a semester. And it's also, maybe even more so, difficult to actually begin to truly open up in community, to bare our soul, to be vulnerable, to share our weaknesses or mistakes or failures or struggles. That's when it really becomes difficult. And that doesn't happen overnight, I know that. And you sometimes take a few semesters before you even feel safe enough in a small group to open up. And even then, when you do feel safe enough, sometimes you will open up and somebody will, you know, sometimes with bad motives, sometimes with good motives and good intentions, they say something, some clever little witty Christian line that just serves as a cut you out from underneath, you know, and you come crashing down. I knew it. I knew community wasn't worth pursuing. I was going to come up with some clever nickname for a religious person, but I don't want to offend anybody. Anyways, they're just going to, I knew it, that's just going to happen, but pursue it. Jesus knew that he would get nailed to a cross, and yet he still did it. It's incredible. Out of the love that you have received in Jesus, love and do the work of building community. It will be worth it. You were made for connection and community. You were made to have that with God and with God with others. Not of God, sorry, with others. So I'm going to highlight 14 ways that you can dive deeper into community here. We'll start with the first one. Starting in November on Sundays during the second service, one of our own, Tim Peterson, is going to be leading what's called a discovery class. And it's kind of basic foundational concepts of what it means to live the Christian life. And if you don't know Tim, he is a wonderful man. He's a pastor for a long, long time, has led in all kinds of seasons and circumstances and things like that. And two things that I love about Tim is not only is he incredibly wise, but he's also very gracious. He's a safe person to be around and to open your heart to and to learn and to grow together. And so God's put it on his heart to make a space for Parksiders to converse and discuss and open their lives together to grow in the foundational understandings of what it means to live the Christian faith. Now, he's put two requirements attached to that class. Like I said, it's going to happen during the second service for 6 weeks straight. He expects that people that sign up for it will actually commit to the 6 weeks so that community can be developed amongst one another, or that if you're just going to come here or there, that you would be taking up a seat that somebody else that would be really eager to attend all 6 weeks in a row would get out of it. The second thing is that you, as a prerequisite to attending the class during the second service, is that you'd attend the first service. And then when we're meeting here for the second service, that group of people for those 6 weeks will be meeting in the fireside room together. So that's an opportunity for us to dive not just deeper in community, but deeper in our walk with Christ as well. Also happening on Sundays, Life Group and Renee Pringle's leading that Sunday night Life Group. They meet at 6 o'clock. It's at different Parksiders' homes. A Life Group, by the way, is... it's kind of in the title. You kind of share in life together. You do life together a little bit more. You meet not just on a weekly meeting, but also when there's different things going on in one of those lives, you begin to care for one another and help each other and do those kinds of wonderful things. Typically what goes on in a life group meeting is everybody kind of checks in, some sing and worship, pray together, pray for one another, some digest the sermon from Sunday, and they kind of talk about how they're going to live that out in their life. Others kind of pick up a certain study or a guide or whatever and walk through that for a number of weeks as well. But that's kind of what a life group is like. On Mondays, I already made an announcement about this, but if you're in, I guess in this room probably only have maybe some grade sixes or sevens, we are, preteen starts back up as well. Preteen part one is Sunday morning. Preteen part two is Monday night when we gather together in different locations. Also on Monday evenings is Carpenter Sons. Yeah, I put a goofy photo of Ron on this one and on this other one. It wasn't very Christian of me, I'll admit. It wasn't really in a heart of pursuing deep community. a few weeks ago, Ron, he made me get up in front of all of you and do actions to a kid's song, I Can Run Through the Troops and Leap Over a Wall. And I told him, I said, I'll get you back. And so in good non-Christian tradition, I retaliated and I put a couple goofy photos of him in there along the way. But he left the first service so offended, but obviously he's forgiven me. So Carpenter Sons, Ron and Trevor kind of help lead that group of men. And it's a time they eat together, they sing together, they pray together, they study God's word together, they share life together. Beautiful community. Full of transformation for men. So that happens on Monday nights, starting September 30th. On Tuesdays, once a month, the first Tuesday of the month, there's going to be a specific time of prayer for our students in our schools, and a wonderful dear lady is leading that. My mom, all right? So you can pursue deeper community and facilitate deeper community through your prayers and through that sharing in the labor of that ministry together. Also on Tuesdays in the evening now, we have the Bible College course that started last Tuesday. It's not too late to start and join this coming Tuesday evening, but after this Tuesday, you'll probably be too far behind to get caught up. So, but if you want to join that course as well, you can. Also on Tuesday evenings is Life Group. So, well, there's another goofy photo. That was from Awkward Family Photo Sunday. Ron and Sharon. Too, you know, double insult. Ron and Sharon lead that group, and they have a great time together, building great community there. Also on Tuesday nights is a young adults Bible study led by Nathaniel and Gabriella Williams. And 3 weeks of the month they do a Bible study, and the other week of the month they do a kind of a social fun activity together as well. On Wednesdays. We have another opportunity, Peter Ewart and Vaughn Williams, they gather every Wednesday morning to pray for you, to pray for the members of Parkside, to pray for the matters that are, you know, current events of Parkside, and to pray for the leaders of Parkside as well. And they meet either in Peter's home or in Vaughn's home, it's open to anybody that wants to join together and to pray with them. And you can pursue and make space for deeper community through your prayers and through gathering together to pray. Also on Wednesdays in the evening is Celebrate Recovery. Eugene and Catherine Dagno lead that ministry, and it's every Wednesday of the year. And unlike a lot of these other things, it requires no commitment in terms of like week to week to week. You can come and go as you please. Obviously, the more consistently you attend, the greater benefit will be yielded in your life. But at the same time, there is that openness in terms of people can come and go as they please here and there. And it's designed to help people with hurts and hang-ups and habits that aren't good, and just to find hope and healing in Christ. And so that community meets every Wednesday night as well. On Thursdays, we have another life group with Chuck and Yvonne Watson. I hear that there's always lots of chocolate at that group. And so if you like chocolate, maybe that's your thing as well. But they check in with one another. They do life together. They build community together. They pray for one another. They study God's word together, laugh together, cry together, all those good things. And that happens on Thursday evenings in their home. On Fridays, on the second and fourth Friday of the month, we have our seniors group led by Vaughn Williams. And on 1 week, they have worship, and they also have games and things like that, and always good snacks. They always have really good eats there. And then on the other Friday of the month, they meet to worship and to pray and to share in God's word together as well. A new thing that's starting on Fridays is a group for young marrieds. I couldn't resist this one either. I don't know if you can see it very well. That's Tom and Charlene Brooks. That's their wedding photo from, I think, how long, Tom, is that 25 years ago?
33.
Oh, you're looking good. Okay. That was kind of a way to get back in your good books. Tom actually posted that photo on Facebook a few years ago. It was so good that I'm like, I'm saving this and I'm going to bring it back up at some point. Today's the day. Okay, I love you, Tom. But Tom and Charlene, they have it on their hearts to help young married couples connect with one another, as well as to let them build relationship with them, to also let them know that they're here to encourage them and to support them, to hear from young marrieds what their strengths and their weaknesses or challenges are, and to come alongside them to encourage them and to build them up. And so they're going to do that over a potluck-style dinner here at the church, and there's more information available in the flyer that was handed out in your newsletters, or there's more available at the welcome desk as well. But you can sign up there as well for that. Also on Fridays, for students in grades 8 through 12, is youth. We had our first youth event this last Friday. Chris Kim, who's our youth ministry director, he's on a sabbatical right now, newly married, and doesn't return until January. And so there's four youth leaders holding down the fort in his absence. Hannah Lambert and Michael Lambert and Nathaniel Williams and Cindy Watson are steering youth ministry right now. And like I said, they had their first event on Friday, and it was a lot of fun. I got to be there with them. Hannah made brownies and iced tea. I was like, oh, there's some good eats there. So anyways, so if you know of students in grades 8 to 12, most Friday nights they are meeting. Again, and there's a link in this flyer to the Facebook group where they post more of their updates and news and things like that online there. So if any of those 14 opportunities interest you, you kind of sense God saying, you know what, this semester, this fall, I do need to pursue deeper community. And there might not be a perfect fit for you there amongst the 14. There'll always be new ones or different ones developing, or maybe God's asking you to open up a new opportunity, a new space for people to pursue community. But if God is prompting or leading you towards pursuing community in any number of ways that I've presented here, after the service, along the back of the room there are some tables. There's sign-up sheets, one for each of the different 14 groups and ministries. You can sign up and be a part of that. If you're an introvert like me and you don't like going and talking to people or signing up on paper, you can go online when you get home, parksidechurch.ca/join. And there's an online directory of small groups there, and you click request to join, and the leader will get an email notification, and they'll be in touch with you, ideally within a few days. Sometimes they're behind, and it's not as quickly as we'd like, but they'll be in contact with you to give you more details on when things are happening and all that good stuff. So you can sign up online, or you can sign up at the clipboard at the back. If you didn't get one of these or want to take one of these home, then pick one up from the welcome desk. Those are just some of the ways, some of the more formal ways that you can plug in and pursue deeper community like Jesus did for us with one another and see greater community manifest in Parkside in this fall semester. I'm going to invite the music team to come up. They're going to close us in song. But first, I'll close in prayer. So why don't we stand and as we get ready to sing this last song, and we'll join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you did not just keep heaven as an elite club for the holy. But Lord, you saw us in our brokenness and in our rebelliousness. You saw us helpless, without a way to know or even be eligible into eternity with you. And so Lord, out of love for us, you made a way. You made a way into community with yourself and with others for all of time. And so, Lord, I thank you that at great cost to you, you gave up your life to make a way for us to find community with you. And Lord, I pray for every Parksider, every person here today, both as individuals and as a collective, Lord, that we would be men and women that learn from the love and the example that you have given to us, and we would be transformed into your life and to your way, and to your way of loving, Lord, that we would pursue community with you and with others, that our city and our world would know that you are alive because you live and you love through us in a way that is literally out of this world. As you said, that they would know that we are yours by our love for one another. by the quality and the content of our community, Lord. Help us to pursue this well. Help us to invest our lives in this. Help us to be more concerned about eternity than the temporary and the now. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.